Coach.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm going to try to be on my best behavior today, whatever that means. Like every other day, I wake up and think, what is going on? I've never done this ever before, ever. I wrote tomorrow's commentary this morning. I was up about 5:30 and boy, it was just on me. So I wrote, it's a zinger. It's called, what did I entitle? Stuck on Stupid, I think is what I said. We're stuck on stupid. We're stuck on stupid here in the good old U.S. of A. And got a great show for you this morning. Sarah Brady, who's a brave mom out in Caldwell, Idaho, way out there. My buddy Tom Munn's area. Tom connected me with Sarah, who was arrested for having the gumption going to the park with her kids. Whoever thinks that you would ever do anything quite like that. And Sarah, they're going to make a federal case out of that. Sarah, at least they're claiming to. And she knew what it was when she picked it up, as my mom would say. And we're stuck on stupid, okay? We're stuck on stupid. I'm going to try to behave here this morning the best I can. Got a lot of things I want to share with you, a lot of things I want to talk about. And I want to focus in a little bit on this whole idea of what a farce they have given us in regards to this, to the whole coronavirus thing. I want to, I'm going to get a little harsher today. I've been nice to people. I've been nice to people who choose to wear their masks and do all that stuff. I got some damning. Can I use that word? Yeah, I think so. I have some damning evidence about the use of masks I'm going to share with you today. And the fact that we're a bunch of sheeple that we just go wherever we go. I watched Doug Hagman last night, and he had David Berman on, a pastor in New Hampshire, I think, who gets it. Where is our pushback? Where the heck is the pushback that we have here in America? That's a question I want to ask you today. We've had a fast one pulled on. I'm sure of it now. We've had a fast one pulled on us. We've had a nation destroyed. Sheldon, pull this up there if you will for me. I just sent you an email. It says impact of the virus. Hang in there, Sarah. I'm going to get to you here in a second. The impact of the... Okay, Sheldon's getting that ready for us. And when are we going to get off of stupid? When are we going to get off stuck on stupid? And why is it that I assume homeschool mother of four, do you homeschool, Sarah? I'll find out. A mother of four has to be one of them to lead the attack. When she does lead the attack, can somebody tell me where's the support? Where's the help? We're a nation led by experts, right? Psalm 1. What does Psalm 1 say? That's our verse for the day again. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And that's all we do is walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Sheldon, let me know when you get it up there. Because it's time to declare war on our experts. If the theme of this show, war on our experts, because they're the ones that have done this to us. So coming up on here is on your screen, you're soon going to see. Is it up there, bud? Nope. The impact, the cost of the loss of freedom. You sitting down? I did get it to you, didn't I, Sheldon? Okay. I got it to you, right? Okay. So the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control. Well, I have a name for you. Center for Disease Control, some big megalith. Thank you, about a government agency. Here it is. I got this today. The CDC has just confirmed that for a 0.2% death rate, 0.2. Sheldon, could you make that a little larger, please? We now found out that we have added nearly $6 trillion to our national debt, laid off or furloughed 50 million workers, placed 60 million Americans on food stamps. Folks, this is the reaction to the virus. The virus did not cause any of these things. We've gone from 5% to 13% unemployment. We've crippled the petroleum industry, may never recover. We've ruined the tourism industry. We've bankrupted the service industry. We've caused an impending meat and protein crisis. Get your meat while you can. Get your meat while you can. We threatened, fined, and arrested church leaders and mommies in the park with their children. We exacerbated mental health problems. More suicides. Suicides are up, folks. More people are dying from suicide than the virus. We've shut down schools and colleges. Praise the Lord on that one. We've given unbridled power to unelected officials, experts, I call them. We've increased suicide rates, I said that, higher than the COVID deaths. We've delayed surgeries and treatments for those who have profound illnesses. We've infringed upon countless important civil liberties. And we've placed 30 million Americans on house arrest. See, that's called martial law. They just don't call it that. All right? They just don't call it that. Hey, Sheldon, while I'm on this rant here, pull up Psalm 1 for me real quickly, please. These consequences, whoops, can you go back to that? I got it here somewhere. These consequences are a result of two things. The first is our view of government as God that can control providence and plagues. In our hubris, we've increasingly viewed the government as a deity who can stop acts of nature. Sorry. And the second is our 21st century commitment to safety, our desire to be safe, ruined our fiscal, physical, medical, food, energy, and national security. Unfortunately, there's no vaccine for cultural fragility. Psalm 1, you got it up here, Sheldon? Because here's what we're doing. Every time I look at that Anthony Fauci and that Deborah Birx and Mike DeWine, our governor here in Ohio, and that Amy Acton. Blessed is the man that doesn't listen to those fools who are running government. That's what Psalm 1 says. Blessed is the man that doesn't listen to Mike DeWine and Amy Acton and Birx and Fauci. Blessed is the man who doesn't pay any attention to them. Nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed are those who don't watch CNN and MSNBC and basically any news organization now. Blessed are those people. Because why? Because his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate in both day and night. And if you listen to the law of the Lord, you're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall not prosper. But the ungodly, who are in control of everything, are not so. The ungodly, they're not like that. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment of the sinners and the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of Fauci and Birx and DeWine and whatever her name is shall perish. Okay, here we go. Hey, Sheldon, pull up the video we played yesterday of Sarah getting arrested here. And then we're going to bring Sarah Brady in. I showed this yesterday, but I want to show you again because I think Sarah's kind of spunky. By the way, she got up early for us. It's 5:09 out there where she is this morning. So four kids. She said she's hiding in the closet because she don't want to wake them all. Here's the story of what happened to Sarah Brady in, I'm going to say Caldwell, Idaho, although that's right outside Boise. I may have the wrong town. Go ahead, Sheldon.
Closed for a reason. It's to stop the spread of COVID-19. And one time found out the hard way, officials are serious about it. As Diane McInerney reports, she was arrested and charged with trespassing for entering a closed city playground.
Controversy erupts as a mom is arrested in a playground closed due to the pandemic.
Officer, you don't want to do that.
The arrest of a Meridian woman has sparked backlash.
I feel like I was singled out because I was the only person that was arrested.
The incident happened at a park in Meridian, Idaho, where anti-lockdown parents reportedly sent out this plea on social media. There are a bunch of us taking our kids to the park to tear the tape off the playground. Let's take a stand.
Police say they went to the playground after receiving several calls about what was taking place.
Yeah.
They say they got there, caution tape and metal signs stating that the playground was closed had been removed. And they repeatedly informed everyone it was time to clear out.
And there were grounds.
I just told you. We can close it anytime.
I'm sorry to hear you. You don't need to talk to me, Brie. I'm just a mom of my kids.
Then things come to a head.
You have 5 seconds. Brie.
Arrest me for being in the car.
Do it. Report it.
Okay, this is not... What is he? Officer, you don't want to do that.
As the mom is led away, others protest.
He is arresting her for being on a public playground.
In a statement, cops say mom of two, Sarah Brady, was charged with trespassing after failing to adhere to the rules in these very trying times.
She was asked to disperse the area. That's good enough.
That's adhere to the rules, huh? See, folks, there are no longer laws. Sarah Brady's in trouble because she didn't adhere to the rules. Arbitrary rules, right? Arbitrary rules. Sarah Brady, come on in here. What the heck would cause a mother of four? Are you a homeschooler, Sarah? Homeschool mother of four. Why would you be so disobedient to walk out into the park on a sunny day and try to let your kids play? Come on in here, Sarah. How you doing?
Yeah, good morning, Coach Dave. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
So, you know, what's interesting is that quote that they give. They're like, there's some moms that are going to go to the park and we're going to rip down tape. That I didn't say that. They found some quote from somebody online that was in this group that I don't even know who she is. And when I showed up at this, it was actually play date. The invitation I saw was a picture of this kid running through grass. And I hadn't planned to go to the play date. Actually, I asked a friend and there was some, you know, discussion. Was it a play date? Was it a protest? And my understanding was a play date. And I showed up about an hour late.
Hang on, Sarah. Sarah, I got to say this for the people who live out in California. They don't know. Play date means you take your children and they have a date and they go play with other children. Go ahead, Sarah.
Right. And so when I hadn't planned to go, and so just to be clear too, a lot of America doesn't know, most of Idaho's parks, in fact, I don't know if any parks in Idaho are actually closed. All the parks were open. The playgrounds on some of the parks were closed. So anyway, when I had gotten there, I had seen that the play date was going on. It was about an hour later. I wasn't even there yet. It's very close to my house. And I saw this video and they were like, hey, we just got to the park. Someone's kids have ripped down the tape. And she pans out and there's tons of kids playing on this play structure. And I was like, kids, we are going to the park. So we get there. We're about an hour late. And I sit down just in time. 5 minutes later, the police show up. And I'm like, oh, really? Man, and then you can kind of see from there what happens is I'm like, what's the deal? Like, I'm questioning how arbitrary it is.
Mm-hmm.
And what it doesn't show in that video is my husband is a police officer. And so I have a different viewpoint on how this police officer should be interacting with the public.
So stop here a second, Sarah. Your husband is a police officer, not in the community that you were arrested, in the neighboring community. So it's not like you hate cops or that you, it's not about any like that. You know how a police officer ought to be interacting with a mother of four children on a playground, right?
Right, with other mothers there, with their children on a playground. And so I was questioning the frustration that came from that, where you see it escalates is, you know, they're like, get off the playground. And I'm like, I mean, first of all, I was standing on the bark, right? The wooden chips next to the playground. I wasn't actually on the equipment. I thought it was okay to be questioning them where they were standing. And so I was asking questions like, so are you going to now enforce the governor's order about social distancing? And are you going to enforce it about the groups of more than 10? Because, you know, I see groups over here, they're playing basketball. There's people sitting at picnic tables. Like, so I'm asking how arbitrary. Like, are you enforcing everything or are you just picking on people that are playing on the playground?
Those of you who live in West Virginia, arbitrary means you enforce some, but you don't enforce others. So she said, I'm looking around, just like we see everywhere we go. People are in Lowe's, people are in Walmart. You can't go to church. You can't. She says, what's going on here? Why aren't you enforcing? Am I doing okay so far, Sarah?
Yeah, exactly. You got the story exactly right. So, and that frustration when he, now there's other moms on these wood chips next to the playground questioning the officers clearly. I mean, there's, I don't even know how many videos came out after it. And at that point, you know, the officer looks at me and points to me. He doesn't point to everyone. He points to me and he says, I told you, and he told everyone else, let me be clear. He told everyone else as well, but he points to me and says, I told you, and you see him counting down. And in that moment, I'm looking in his eyes thinking, are you kidding me? I'm standing here questioning you next to a playground about how you're going to be arbitrary about enforcing this. Now, keep in mind, he was the only officer that had walked in that park the day who was, I felt like being unprofessional. There was other two officers who were very calm. They understood how to de-escalate moms who were frustrated about being basically shut down in their houses with their kids for 6 weeks. That's a long time. I have a special needs kid. I have four kids, one who's special needs, and my children need outside time. And quite frankly, if my children are happy, I'm happy. And if they're not happy, I'm not very happy either. So, yeah. So you see basically where he starts getting down to me and I'm thinking, you're threatening me with arrest as a mom who's questioning this. Are we really in this point that this is where it's come to a head? And that's where I'm like, fine, go ahead, arrest me. So, I mean, people are like, no, it was planned. It wasn't planned. There was nothing that day where I was like, I'm going to go to the park and nope. I went that day and that escalated to that point of being like, fine, if I'm such a bad person for questioning you on how arbitrary things are, then you know what? Guilty as charged.
So Sarah, tell me then, Sarah, this is Sarah Brady. Is it Meridian, Sarah? What town arrested
you? It is Meridian. Yeah.
Meridian. It's right outside Boise, Idaho. Meridian. Sarah, tell me that cooler heads have now prevailed, right? That this got to the local police chief or got to the local attorney or whatever. And they said, oh, listen, we're sorry, Mrs. Brady. We're sorry. We didn't really. Tell me cooler heads have prevailed here, Sarah.
Coach Dave, at this point, no. At this point, no. Now, because my husband is a police officer, we expected that it would not be taken care of in the same area or district that he works in. Because a lot of smaller towns take, Boise City will take on their cases.
So well, I got to stop you, Sarah. I got to stop you. Listen, in those pillow talk moments, did your husband say to you, you sure did it this time, Sarah? You're going to cost me your job. Did that go through your head, Sarah?
So when I was sitting in the jail cell, because they just had to take me to jail, they couldn't cite me and then send me home like they're doing majority of the cases in Boise. And keep in mind, they've let out 400 people out of the Ada County Jail where they booked me in.
They let 400 people out.
Yeah, but I'm clearly a danger to society, Coach Dave. I'm such a danger that you had to take me in. Show me, you. I mean, like, so, you know, when you say, like, what's going on now with the case? Well, I got a letter in the mail saying that my case was punted to the state of Idaho and they've accepted the case. So at this point, I've got no communication saying it's been dismissed. The state of Idaho will be prosecuting me, who has unlimited resources, right? Unlimited resources, not to mention the fact it's the taxpayers' unlimited resources.
You're
losing jobs.
You're paying to prosecute you.
Right. And then people who are losing their jobs and livelihoods, the state's going to go and crack down on a mom who is at a park playground questioning law enforcement.
What did they charge you with, Sarah?
I was charged with trespassing. Which carries in Idaho up to 6 months in jail and $1,000 fine.
Were there no trespassing signs up?
I didn't see any trespassing signs up.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, there's a sign on the ground. I didn't see what it said. I'm figuring everybody's on the playground. If anyone's getting in trouble, we're all getting in trouble, right?
Right. You'd think they didn't do it. They arbitrarily. There's that word again, right? Arbitrarily.
Right, it's arbitrary.
So, Sarah, you have a hearing coming up. Is it Friday, Thursday, Friday one coming up this week?
Yep. Friday, I have an arraignment where I guess it's different now. We have COVID-19, so I don't even really understand what the process. I've actually got to call today and figure out, do I go into court? Or do I stay home and do it on a Zoom? I don't even know what they're doing at this point because things have changed so not much. So
now, Sarah, one of the things that got you in trouble, folks, I'm going to let you jump in here with Sarah in just a second here. One of the things that got you in trouble, and it really wasn't your fault, was it, Sarah, is that some of your supporters, or maybe not your supporters, I even hate that word, some of the people who are in support of less government tyranny showed up outside the home of the arresting officer. Tell us about that, Sarah.
Yeah, so that same night, a group had gone out, actually, and they were serving, I believe it was Governor Little, and I believe it's Dave Jepson, who's the head of the Department of Health and Welfare. So they were serving them some, I think, notices. I don't know a lot about what they were doing. And I guess last minute, they decided to add on the arresting officers thing. Now, another group also posted his name and address. And so I got accused of setting it up, and which I didn't. I wasn't okay with it. Now, obviously, I'm not going to control people's actions. But personally, putting myself as a police officer's wife in his family's shoes, I was not, you know, I wasn't thrilled that I was blamed for it.
And Sarah, this isn't San Francisco, or this isn't New York City. This is conservative Boise, Idaho, right? I mean, this is, people are fleeing California to get to places like Idaho where there's some sanity. What do you think? What's going on? Be careful what you say. What's really going on here, Sarah?
Well, I mean, I literally every day I'm out doing, whenever I'm doing meet and greets or meeting people in Idaho, because I'm part of I run a group called Idahoans for Vaccine Freedom, and a lot of our
Say that again. So you're a troublemaker to begin with, is that right, Sarah? You run a group called what? Is that again?
It's Idahoans for Vaccine Freedom.
Wow, you're a troublemaker. No wonder they want you, Sarah. No wonder.
Well, you know, you have to stop the people that are trying to make a difference, because we do have a lot of Californians specifically moving here for other reasons, but there's a lot who specifically move here because of our vaccine exemption rights.
Mm-hmm. Is that under assault though, Sarah? Are they?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's under assault because, you know, I have public records requests where government officials are talking about how we can't notify parents of their vaccine exemption rights because our exemption rights are too high because of people moving in from out of state. That mm-hmm. in addition to other things. And so, yeah, they're purposely trying to hide it from parents. And
okay, schools. Sarah. Okay. So, by the way, this is a very anti-vax friendly audience. So you're in good company here. So Sarah, tell all the mothers that are watching right now and all the grandmothers and all the men who run and hide, what came over you, Sarah, when you realized you were about to be arrested? Well, because, I watched that video several times. I would have loved to have been there, because I've been somewhat in that situation where just sometimes you just put down and stomp your foot and say, damn it, I've had enough. Was that kind of the feeling that you had, Sarah? What precipitated that whole thing? Rather than saying, yes, officer, we love police officers. We respect you. We know you're just doing your job. What made you say that? That's it. I've had enough of this.
You know, really, it was just this righteous indignation of how arbitrary things were. That now, I don't know if I told you on the phone the other day, after I was arrested, later that night, somebody sent me a picture from the Meridian Police Department's website. Okay. And it's a picture that occurred about 10 hours prior to my arrest. And it's a picture of a boy in a police car, because, you know, birthday parties are not what they were before. Now, I wouldn't say all of Idaho, but there are some people, but there's a lot of people who are not obeying the rules. But this was an officer who had gone to this child's home, and he got to go and sit in the police car. And I just want to know why COVID-19 doesn't exist in a police car. It doesn't exist on a picnic table. It doesn't exist in Costco or Lowe's or Winco or, you know, all these basketball and all these, the park is okay, but the playground's not. I mean, we know that sun kills viruses. We know that, the best place for our kids to be is outside in the fresh air and sun. And
heaven forbid.
You know, and then I know there's playgrounds in private daycares that are allowed to stay open. Why weren't those wrapped with crime scene? I mean, for crying out loud, it's a playground, not a crime scene. So
hey, it Dave. Was just...
Roger, hang on, Sarah. Roger's okay. An attorney, so be careful here. Go ahead, Roger.
Oh, I don't mean to interrupt, but I just had a quick question. Ma'am, are you a woman of faith? Are you a churchgoer?
I am.
Okay, tell me a little bit about the support. Have you gotten any support from your church, your pastor, your Bible study leader? How's that all playing out?
Well, that's an interesting question that you ask. I'm a member of the LDS faith, and you know, my church decided to shut down worldwide church services.
Okay.
And so I've had to try to find spiritual support in other avenues, which has been very difficult to find, kind of being thrust into it. So I can't even really say, like, I'm not really even interacting with my church congregation because
what would you think would be the position of the hierarchy of your church? LDS folks, Mormon. Are you taught, Sarah, obey the government, right or wrong?
So I don't know about that. I'd have to think about that because I mean that's I think it depends upon the person, right? Because there's different types of people that attend every church. So I think there would be people that would say, you should be obeying the laws of the land no matter what. And I think there would be people saying, you should be obeying the law of the land and the Constitution no matter what.
But your pastor, hasn't called you and said, we're behind you, Sarah. We're so proud of you. Go, go, go.
No. And I'm not, you know, I'm in a newer ward. It's a newer church. I haven't been in this house for very long. So I don't fault anybody for not reaching out to me.
Yeah, I got you.
But, you know, I think, you know, there's been mixed. It's really actually, honestly been mixed. After I was arrested, my husband, some of his coworkers were texting him saying, your wife is my hero. So I know that not everybody out there is, you know, upset that I was arrested in the park. I know that there's been tons of support, you know, from people who reach out. But, you know, the interesting thing, a lot of people too, it seems like the people that have come out of the woodwork to tell me how awful I am, I'm just... You know, I'm wondering if they're living in their mother's basement with a mask on, spending their stimulus check online. So good people typically don't go out of their way because they're self-governing to come out and say how wonderful someone is because they're living their lives, right? They're happy to see it. Maybe they'll comment on a post and then they go about their lives. So
they don't want to get involved. Don't want to get involved, do they, Sarah? Listen, I'm going to open the phone lines up here in just a second. Hey, Sarah, so tell us again. It's not a state attorney general, I assume. If they decide to continue to push it, tell us again how much money this is going to cost you and what might happen to you.
Yeah, so it is the state AG's office that's the state of Idaho, but I don't believe it's the state AG that's actually prosecuting the case. When I Google the name of the person who was assigned the case, it's actually the same person who was assigned the Lori Vallow case. I don't know if anyone's familiar with that. It's the mom who's missing children. There's missing children, and she was found in Hawaii with her, I believe it was her husband. So basically, well, I've spoken to quite a few lawyers. I mean, anywhere upwards of $30,000 to $50,000 if I take it all the way to trial. It's a trespassing charge, which carries a maximum sentence of up to 6 months in jail, $1,000 fine. And the interesting thing is, after I was arrested, I looked up Meridian City ordinances. And specifically in there, it says, if you're found to be in a closed part of a park, which that's what they're claiming I was, it's a $50 fine. And it's essentially an infraction on your record.
Wow.
So they've really, like, I mean, I'm expecting them to try to take me to the cleaners because at this point they've not dismissed it. You know, it looks like they're holding to their gums. And so I'm hoping for the best, planning for the worst.
Hey, Sarah, listen, here's what we need while you're sitting there at 5:28 here in the morning. Maybe you can figure out a way, Sarah, I want the phone number who we call to bring pressure. That's what I want to do. We got some people who make some phone calls for you.
I can Google the AG's phone number.
The AG of Idaho, the Idaho.
Right.
Maybe somebody out there can somebody do that for us and put it in the chat here for us. We can put
it's
some pressure.
Lawrence Wasdin is the Attorney General of Idaho, and that's who I would call to encourage the case to be dropped. Because, you know, quite frankly, why the do you know the playground is now open? Like 2 weeks later, they opened it. Now COVID-19 is not a thing at that playground.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we've opened it up. Like, really?
Yeah. Let me open it up. Somebody come on in here. Question for us. By the way, Sarah, it's amazing that you didn't go there to get arrested. Isn't it amazing how courage comes at the right moment? The whole time you're being arrested, you're thinking, oh, what's my husband going to say? What's going on? All that stuff going through your head, right? And so you're trying to count that cost, whether or not you have to do it. And here you are, an international star as a result of it.
Hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting. So, and I've said this a lot, it's not the hill that I chose to die on. It's the hill that God chose me to die on.
Amen. Amen. Well, you're not going to die. You're not going to die.
I hope not.
So listen, if you got a question for Sarah, just unmute yourself and we'll invite you right on in here. So,
Sarah, I don't know if this is a question, but I would be just a word of encouragement.
He's an attorney, Sarah. He's an attorney.
I can't imagine any jury convicting you. I'm just serious. I cannot imagine 12 people finding you guilty of anything.
Yeah, but Roger, she's out $30,000 before she gets to that point.
Yeah, but boy, that's awful expensive lawyering. But I can't imagine any jury convicting you of anything.
Yeah, I can't either. I can't either. Hopefully, clear-minded people will rule the day. Somebody else, come on in here.
I have a question, Coach. It's Polly.
Hey, Polly.
If the park was open and you weren't on the playground equipment, how could you be charged with trespassing?
So that's a good question. The park was opened. I never at that point that day touched the playground equipment. I had stepped onto the bark to question the officers. Because keep in mind, being married to a police officer, I'm more comfortable with the men in blue than probably your typical citizen. And so I didn't even realize at the point when he's telling people to get out of the playground, I'm just thinking we're standing here talking as adults. And so when he started, like, I couldn't see why we were yelling about being on the bark. Like, I don't know. I felt like it was an overreaction, frankly. So I don't know. That's a good question.
Do you feel like he felt he was embarrassed, Sarah? Did he feel you embarrassed him? You're married to one of these guys, right?
And he didn't know that, though. He didn't know that. I don't name drop. If I get pulled over, I don't say, well, I'm married to a cop. I don't deserve to get a ticket. That's not who I am.
Yeah. So I would.
I'm not going to use my status or influence being married to a police officer that way. So I think what it was is who knows how many calls. Here's the deal. We found out later there was a snitch in the parking lot.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, we had snitches. Someone eating their sandwich, calling in. So I don't know if he was just upset about how all the calls they were getting. My understanding is he is a sergeant. I do feel like, though, here's the deal. My husband for 10 years was arresting pedophiles. So I didn't stand on the bark thinking I'm a bad person for talking to a police officer. I didn't view myself as a criminal. I didn't view myself as someone who was, I wasn't shooting up in the park for crying out loud. I'm simply pushing back on the narrative, this whole idea of like, you know, get off the playground. I'm like, but why? Why? We can do picnic benches and we can do basketball over here. And we can do so, you know, there was tons of people on blankets, shoulder to shoulder like that, you know, like that's a good question.
Folks, don't miss this, folks. Please don't miss this. Remember the movement about 4 or 5 years ago, see something, say something. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what they're doing. It's called social shaming, right? So Sarah's going to go out there and she's going to wear a mask or not wear a mask where everybody else is wearing one. And they're all going to point at Sarah. Bad Sarah, bad Sarah. Follow the rules. By the way, it's interesting, Sarah, the news clip said you broke the rules, not the law, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bad
right.
Sarah, bad Sarah.
Right.
Take that vaccination, Sarah. Bad right. Sarah. Put on that mask. Bad Sarah. Right? Right? That's where it's heading. Yes, Mark.
Hey, Coach, go ahead, Mark.
Quick question. Just maybe we're looking at it wrong. Why would you want it to be dropped? When are you taking your children back? When are you and the moms going to go back to the park?
Interesting, sir. Do you understand what he's saying? Maybe we don't want this case to be dropped. Maybe we want to fight this thing to the end so that you're going to be vindicated. And nobody else will say it, but I'll say it. And then they'll have to pay you a whole bunch of money for false arrest.
Coach, it gets dropped. Everyone gets off. Everyone right. who perpetrated are happy. They're like, mm-hmm. ha ha, we disrupted her life. We scared her. We caused fear and panic. We disrupted her children. And she's not going back to the park. So we fixed the problem. Yeah. And they didn't even need to go. Look at Alan Hoyle. Went to court. He couldn't even talk to people. They dismissed it before he could get in there. That would have embarrassed the officers. That would have embarrassed the officers if it had been talked about.
That's right. See, Sarah, the point that Mark's saying is it would be really, really good for you to have your day in court and stand up and tell everybody exactly what happened to you and how ridiculous that was, rather than them just quietly dropping the case. You picking up, Sarah, what he's saying?
I absolutely do. Here's what I will tell you. So about 4.5 weeks ago, almost 5 weeks ago, my life was, I felt like a pretty even kill life. 4 kids, you know. The day after that arrest, and I'll even say that night, my world has been turned upside down.
I bet.
Okay. And I'll tell you what, I've never reached out to God more than I have in the last 5 weeks. And we know how that works, right? When you have trials, it really, really pushes you to have to decide if you're going to rely upon God. And so at this point, I have human desires, right? Which God, I don't have to verbally tell him to God. He knows what those are. But I will say it's thy will be done. And if that's what he wants, well, then I will go and we will do that day in court.
So you're not over cowering in some corner, whining and moaning, oh, why me, Lord? You're not worried about that, huh? Whatever it is.
Coach Dave, some days I've had some tears about my old life. There's an old life that I'm never going to get back, of privacy and a lot of things. But again, like if this is where God wants me, I'm going to praise his name and do the best I can in my way to be able to, you know, hold my head high and perform the duties he's given me.
Amen. Pastor Dale, come on in. Come on in, Dale.
Hallelujah. Sarah, I have been following your story from the beginning.
Dale's from New Orleans, Sarah.
Yes, I'm a pastor. I'm a former Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office chaplain. I have been arrested 3 times on the battlefield out in front. I want to first admonish you that you stood up and your children have seen what bravery
is.
Now, legality wise, because I've been in this position where officers come in and do what they did, I think there's a lot of emotions going on there. I think maybe at a different moment that officer might have made a different decision. But he's a sergeant, which is concerning. He's not a low ranking officer. He does not understand constitutional law, what he swore to uphold. City ordinances are not laws. They're exactly what they are. They're ordinances, they're tickets.
Rules, they called them. Dale, the reporter called them rules.
Maybe reach out to this officer, give him a constitution and ask him to study it. Because not only him, but there's many officers, you know, good intentions, not necessarily the right thing because they don't understand the constitution and the duty. Now, you know, it's like, did they have no trespassing signs and things of such nature? But I just want to commend you because I think one of the greatest things you did is your children has seen something. And my children have been raised in the battlefield, in the trenches, you know, facing arrests and all of these things, is that your children saw what courage is.
How old are your children, Sarah?
So I just want to commend you on that, too.
Amen. How old are your children, Sarah?
Thank you, Dale. I have 12, 8, 6, and 2. And it was the 8-year-old and 6-year-old that were there.
Sarah, did they arrest you and leave those children there? Was that going to be what they were going to do? Leave them with a friend or what?
Well, I see. I don't really know the discussion once I was taken to the car. Before that, I had turned to a friend and said, could you keep an eye on my kids? So they weren't just there behind my back playing without some adult keeping an eye on them.
Yeah, we're not saying you're a bad mom. We're wondering if the police separated you from your children.
Right. And I think at some point, I don't know if it shows it in a video. I feel like as I was walking off the park playground, I feel like I turned to somebody and said, can you make sure my kids get home? I can't remember exactly. Yeah. I haven't seen the police officer's footage. I've only seen the people that were there. And so I'm pretty sure I had said that. So maybe the officers heard me say that and thought her kids are taken care of. We're not going to. Yeah. So I know they were accused of not taking care of my kids. I can't say that that was done on purpose. Maybe they heard me. Maybe they didn't. I'm hesitant to, you know, make a comment about if they did or didn't. But, you know, speaking to, you know, my kids being there, like, I don't know if you guys saw the arrest. I believe it was a South Wales mom and she was protesting the kid's holding onto her hand and he's screaming.
Yes.
Now that gave me post-traumatic. This happened, obviously happened, what happened to me. And so it put me in a different light of realizing how that really affected children there. Now, my children, though, we have family discussions about how We need to stand up for what the right thing is, and sometimes that's going to be in the face of possibly law enforcement, that we need to do the right thing, because our governor is telling us our life is not going back to normal until we get a vaccine, whatever that means. You know,
whatever that means. Well, you're not taking on, right? You're not going to take on.
No.
Joe Allen, come on in here, Joe Allen.
Hi, sir. My name's Joseph.
He's from South Carolina, sir. We're all across the fruited plain.
This was horrific what this sergeant did.
By the way, sir, Joseph has some police experience, so he's just not saying it off the top of his head. This is my grandson, David. Go ahead.
This is horrific what this sergeant did, especially making you an example in front of your children. In fact, first of all, the second, I hope your husband didn't receive any strife of this action. And we see what these cops are doing throughout the country, especially what happened here in a couple of days ago in Minneapolis, where they killed a gentleman, putting their legs on their neck.
Yep.
Some of these cops are either not receiving the correct training. It's just blowing my mind. I got 24 years underneath my belt in state and federal.
Hey Joseph, wouldn't he just taken her aside?
I would have taken her aside and explained to her what the rules are going down and that's being put out by the governor. But I wouldn't arrest her in front of her children.
I go back to my teaching and coaching. If I had a trouble with a player, I took him off to the side. I didn't allow it to escalate in front of everybody else. So I agree with you, Joseph. This was
a non-combatant. It blows my mind.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, sir.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, come on in, Jack. Or Glenn. Who was that? Glenn?
Sure. Yeah, I was just gonna say
Glenn from Dallas.
Maybe this is a good case for Jay Sekulow and the American Center for Law and Justice.
Or somebody like that. There's a Pacific Justice Institute out there. They'd probably be more likely, Glenn. Sarah, I don't know if you've heard of them or not. The Pacific Justice Institute's out on the left coast, and they fight these kind of things. I can maybe help connect you if you need it. Go ahead, Glenn.
No, I just wanted to mention that as a, potential legal representation.
That's right. We can chip in and help. Rich Wallace, come on in, Rich.
Yeah, good morning. I'm wondering if after they arrested Sarah, I'm sure they cleared out the park since nobody's supposed to be there, right?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that question. I almost forgot about that. Yeah, so what I was told by multiple friends who were there is I was hauled off to the jail because I was a danger to society. And apparently they had wrapped the playgrounds back up, the actual equipment. And a short time later, kids ran over, ripped the tape off again, and went back to playing. So literally, officers are there, not right on the playground, but I think on the roadside. But they can see what's happening, and they just let it happen. And you tell me why at that point more justice wasn't served.
Amen. Amen. Sarah, let me ask you something. I sense, Sarah, that this is more than a day in the park for you, right? That you sense something bigger going on. Obviously, you're against vaccinations. From your perspective, Sarah, we did a show earlier this week on stupid people and vexation, people being vexed. Are you like my wife, Sarah? You sit around and you watch this ridiculousness going on, this arbitrary enforcement of the law, and you are just saying, what is going on? And the next thing you know, it ends in your lap.
Yes. You know, and I will say what's interesting is I've actually been deeper into politics than my husband has been. He's just more recently been in it. And so he was getting more worked up about the stuff that was going on. I was of the mindset, listen, we need to move out to the country where when COVID-20 comes, we're a little bit further away from the crazy.
COVID-20.
So I was like, we need to get ready. So we're literally trying to put our house on the market. And that day I was painting my front door before I went to the park. And so, you talk about it literally landing in my lap. I've been watching how arbitrary it was. I'm like, we're literally shutting down the whole stinking country for a flu. I mean, we have less deaths in Idaho this year for COVID-19 than we have in years past for the flu. I think one year we were up to 100. I want to say right now we're up to 88. And that's just assuming those deaths that have been recorded are actual COVID-19 deaths.
Well, how about this one, Sarah? Hey, Sheldon, pull up for me. The last thing says nursing homes. Folks, are you sitting down? Hey. Are you sitting down? Come on in. Well, Sheldon's pulling that up.
Coach, I want to go. Yeah, as you're pulling that up, also, Sarah, I want to let you know we are also homeschoolers, and understanding that this battle, this is not of flesh and blood, but this is, you know, right. I hear your credentials as a homeschool mom, anti-vaxxer. My wife is also a nurse, works the COVID floor at the hospital.
Wow,
man, let me tell you what. The only thing that comes to my mind right now is what the Lord said unto Satan when he looked at his servant Job and said, have you considered my servant Job? Let me tell you what, your name is known in heaven. What you have done, man, you were the threat to the kingdom of darkness that day. It wasn't any other mom. It could have been any other mom, but it was you, because Satan knew you were a threat.
Amen to that, Dale.
Folks, you know, Dale, you know that you say that, and that's actually what I've said about the how everything is escalated, how everything happened. Cause I'm like, nothing. I don't know what I could have done so wrong besides make the devil himself mad that day. Amen. I mean, literally the powers that have come down on top of me, the state of Idaho still choosing to prosecute a mom at a park, and the park's now open, or not the park, the playground, the park has always been open. So yeah. Thank you for that.
Hey, folks, hang on a second. I have on the screen right now, update finds just 1.8% of the population is in nursing homes. Only 1.8% are in nursing homes, but 42% of the deaths have been in nursing homes. So you understand this, folks? Over 40,000 deaths are people who are in nursing homes. And if you click on the screen, on the map down at the bottom there, Sheldon, you click on that, it shows you what percentage of people within your state who died were in nursing homes. Nursing homes, folks. Are we seeing the picture here? Do we understand how this whole thing has been manipulated? Ohio, 70% of Ohio's deaths have been in nursing homes. Up in Idaho, 56.8% of the COVID deaths have been in nursing homes.
Hey,
come on. Yeah.
I have a question. What's the significance of that? Every one of those deaths is still a death.
The cost of main care, the cost of elderly care.
The significance of it is that they're older and not as healthy.
Well, okay, so have you guys heard about the study that they've done that if you get the flu shot, which they do a lot in nursing homes, the flu shot makes you more susceptible to coronaviruses? Have you guys seen that study?
Heard of it. I haven't seen it, but yes, I've heard that, right? That's right. Jack, was it Jack trying to get in? Come on in, Jack.
Yeah, it also damages the kidneys. So the kidneys, there's more renal failure after flu shots. Huh. That's always a help. Sarah, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the stand. I actually watched it live as it was happening because of the network that I'm in. Somebody sent me this and said, watch this. So I was watching it, and you can go back and you can see I was screaming in there because I was watching that there was maybe four or five men in the area and probably 8 or 10 women. And I wanted to know why those men let that woman
get arrested. Question.
I was really irate. I was screaming on my thumbs were going crazy. But the other observation is that those police officers, unfortunately, are not the police of the people. They are police of the town. They're municipal officers. They work for or are hired by the town. And so they were doing their job. They have no responsibility to protect you. Their only responsibility is to the needs of the city or town.
Law enforcement, right, Jack? Law enforcement. That's what they're there for.
Rule enforcement.
Rule enforcement.
You know, they don't have to enforce laws. Because they are municipal officers.
Yeah, they're hall monitors. Area code 315. Come on in.
Yeah, this is Gary in New York State, upstate New York, distinguished from New York City. somewhat. I got three points I just want to make. First of all, the Rutherford Institute, you may have heard of them, headed by John Whitehead, also defends these types of cases, and they write a lot about the loss of liberty in this country in various articles. So that may be a source for legal representation, especially if the ACLJ doesn't step up. Second, two other points or questions. Is there a GoFundMe or something like that that you're putting together to help with legal expenses? And my last point is the edicts out in Idaho, I'm assuming, are those executive orders by the governor, and they were not measures passed by the state legislature?
Yeah, they were just rules. What do you think, Sarah?
Yeah, so firstly, to your second statement, so I do have a website that somebody set up for me. It's supportsarahbrady.com, and that's Sarah without an H, S-A-R-A, supportsarahbrady.com. Someone actually today is going to be setting up a GoFundMe as well, and then I'm going to have a place where people can send checks, because I've had requests for people to be able to mail checks, and I just set up a I'm a mom with four kids, so I'm trying to manage this on top of taking care of my kids. And to your question about the order, so there was a governor's order, and then our mayor, the mayor of Meridian, also had his own order. And so my understanding at this point was that they had shut down the parks. Now, apparently the city of Meridian can shut down the parks or whatever area of the parks for whatever reason they want to. And that's fine if you need to do it for upkeep and maintenance, right? But when you're arbitrarily shutting down a part of the park and other parts of the park aren't closed, and somehow COVID-19 doesn't exist on those surfaces, but it does on the playground equipment where it's there's sun, fresh air, sun. So anyway, yes. So it was, there's also a mayor's order that was put into place.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jeff.
I was just wondering, you get that, and I was thinking the same thing with the GoFundMe page, but can you imagine the Sarah being the spokeslady that she is, and then furtherness on to that vaccine thing, once the notoriety of her gets out there across the states, because look at that mom with the GoFundMe page, the money she raised.
$750,000 The hairdresser down in
support these people.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Jeff. The hairdresser in Texas, her GoFundMe went as high as $750,000, I think. So it is what it is.
The heritage you were talking about the other day. I go back to what her children, it doesn't stop here. Her children, do you know what they're going to be talking about? Their hero mom when they're a little bit older? You're talking about heritage, this being passed on to the next generation. This is the one who was willing to stand up. I'm just telling you, brother, she is teaching her children without even opening a book.
And inspiring others as well, Dale. That's, to me, that's the important thing. Others are watching. And I thought it was very interesting, the question Jack had, where were the men? How come some men didn't step forward and defend Sarah? That's a lesson for all of us. Go ahead, Joe.
Sarah, I got one more question. Have you seen the upcoming court case? Is that the magistrate you had to see? I'm curious of his response.
So I haven't been to court yet. My arraignment is on Friday, and I don't even know at this point, because Idaho is kind of in a different, we're moving into different phases. And so I don't even know if the courts are open. I'm just going to call this morning and see if court was going to be open by that day. Otherwise, I think I'm supposed to be on a Zoom in front of a judge pleading guilty or not guilty, which quite frankly, I'm a little disappointed in some ways, because now that I'm in this mess, I wanted to kind of see what the process looks like.
Right
up front. So
yeah. Well, we know this, sir.
I got.
Go let Joseph. Let Joe Allen finish. Go ahead, Joe.
I got the magistrate dropping it.
I think so too. I think so too. I don't know how they go forward. Is that Jack? Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, please, sir. Don't plead anything. What does plead mean? Plead means to beg. Do not plead anything. Simply state that you are innocent until proven guilty. You are not pleading not guilty. You're not begging to be not guilty. You are going to state that under American jurisprudence, I am innocent.
Yeah, innocent. But you plead innocent. Amen.
Stop the stupidity.
Well, again, Silver, come on in, Silver.
Thank you, sir. Sarah, I was going to say, we were talking about where were the men in this case. And I'm sure in your state, there is some attorney somewhere that would take this on pro bono all the way. Okay. I mean, he knows all he needs is one or two meals a day. Okay. And he'll be fine. But what this would do for him is plant a major seed in his life as well.
Amen, Joe. I agree with that. And Sarah, I think we're looking at two different things here, Sarah. Number one, they get first turn at the bat, so they've got you in court. But I would hope that you would send them a strong message afterwards that you're not allowed to do this. See, we as Christians, we believe in grace and mercy and forgiveness and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, we believe in justice, and they do not understand justice. Justice is something they get to mete out. They never have to answer for it. And I would just encourage you that you find yourself some good civil rights, First Amendment law lawyer, and you go get a little bit of pound of flesh after it. That's what I vote. I don't know about the rest of you, but we can't just continue to turn the other cheek, or these people are going to continue to do the same type of thing. Sarah, you got about 5 minutes left here.
Coach, did we get that name and phone number?
We did not get that name and phone number. I don't think we did to call the, you know, Sarah, should we call the state DA till after the magistrate rules? That's what I'm wondering. Maybe we ought to see what the magistrate's going to say. I don't care. It's up on the screen. We got it up on the screen. Put it in the chat. It's 208-334-2400. This is the Office of the Attorney General in Boise, Idaho. 208-334-2400. Just call them, say, what's wrong with you guys? Get those kids need their mommy. 208-334-2400. I'm sure calls would help. Sarah, help us wrap it up here, Sarah. How would you like to see this come out? Other than financially, how can we help you, Sarah?
You know, so... Oh, pray for me because like the gentleman said earlier, this is not a battle against flesh and blood. So that's the number one thing that I really need outside of money. Mm-hmm. You know, someone mentioned earlier, where were the men? You know, what's kind of funny is the exact moment I was getting arrested, there was another officer handing out stickers at the playground. And I think that's the officer that should have been there in next to me that day, because I've been saying people, you know, officers should be bringing stickers to playgrounds, not handcuffs.
Amen.
So, and again, I hold no ill will towards the gentleman who arrested me. I think everybody makes mistakes. But I will say too, that, and I love law enforcement. Obviously I'm married to one and I hold them in the highest regard, especially when they're following, you know, a godly walk. But I also believe that when you love someone, that you correct them and you chasten them when they do something that's wrong.
Amen.
So, you know, if he came to my house right now and said, you know, Ms. Brady, I'm sorry about that day. I said, you know what? I got a little cranky too, because my kids, I'd been locked up in the house, and I give him a hug and I go about my life. Like, I hold nothing. So I do hope, though, that it inspires people to stand up, because I'll tell you what, we are going to get in the coming days, months, years. It's not going to just be a mom in a park. And we know that this is going to be child's play. This will be child's play compared to what's coming down the pike. So we need to be prepared, like, you know. I think later on in life, my kids won't be talking about the mom at the park. There'll be something else that will be bigger that I'll stand for.
Hey, Sarah, listen, stickers, not handcuffs. You've got to, every time you're in front of the media, boy, oh boy, unveil that one, man. That is a club of all clubs. Stickers, not handcuffs. Mm-hmm. That's what ought to be going on. Well, Sarah, listen, it's been great. I'm proud of you. Not that that matters. I can tell. We can tell because we here at Coach Dave Live, we are like-minded people. We love courage. We love justice. And we love those who have the courage to stand for justice. So no matter how much other people are criticizing you, you know, Sarah, they don't get it. They don't really understand what's going on. The ones who are going to stand in line and get a shot, the ones who are going to put masks around their face, they don't get it, right? We did a show, as I said earlier this week, on stupid. People just doing stupid things because somebody else told them to do it. And I just want to encourage you that you've been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this, that this thing did not happen to Sarah Brady by accident. And just trust in the Lord and let him take this thing wherever he wants to take it, because your bravery literally is inspiring millions of people you don't even know anything about, millions you didn't. So, Sarah, I know it hadn't been easy, and I know it's not going to remain easy, and your life maybe won't be the same, although it will. You'll be in the public eye here for a while, and then it'll blow away. But you've done a great thing, Sarah, and we're really, really proud of you. Hang in there,
Coach Dave.
Hang in there with us for a second, Sarah. We're going to sign off, then we'll check in. Sarah Brady. Hey, where were the men? Where were the men? Stickers, not handcuffs. Come on, cops. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.